place. Come sit here.
Good morning. Let everyone take a seat. Okay, so we haven't discussed Rashi's on Erev Shabbos for a while. I've been away for a couple of Erev Shabbos, so it's good to get back into the swing of Rashi's. So, we speak a lot about how to develop Yirat Shamayim, and we speak a lot about how to feel Yirat Shamayim, what that feeling is. It's an important emotion in religion. There are two emotions a person has to feel religiously towards Hashem. Ahavas Hashem and Yirat Shamayim, those are mitzvahs. But how does it filter down into your day-to-day life? How does Yirat Shamayim affect not just your emotions, but your behavior? Well, clearly, mitzvahs, Moshe Rabbeinu writes, "Kim liyiras Hashem lokecha lishmor mitzvosav." So Yirat Shamayim will lead to mitzvos, but Yirat Shamayim also leads to moral behavior, proper moral behavior. You see this, for example, in Parsha Shemos, where the midwives were considered Yirei Shamayim, Batirena Hamayaldos Hashem Lokim, and therefore they acted morally. Not that they performed more mitzvos or learned more Torah. Because they had Yirat Shamayim, you would think that their moral behavior would have been based upon caring for other human beings, compassion. It's that as well, but it stems from Yirat Shamayim. So it's fascinating to think about the way that Yirat Shamayim affects your moral behavior. This parsha provides two Rashis with very, very delicate and nuanced descriptions of how Yirat Shamayim should affect your moral behavior. Not in broad strokes, not that you shouldn't kill and steal and cheat, but very, very subtle situations. The Torah writes, V'yareisa me'elokecha, you should have Yirat Shamayim in two very morally delicate situations. One is ribis, an interest, and one is how you treat your slave and your servant. And in each case, Rashi doesn't just leave a general, oh, you should have Yirat Shamayim and be careful about interest and not taking too much of a bite from your friend who borrowed money from you, or you should have Yirat Shamayim and not abuse your slave, but much more nuanced and subtle situations. And let's read them carefully, because there's three situations, two about ribis-related, interest-related, usury-related issues, and one about your slave. So let's first start with the slave, because it's easier, then we'll work our way back. The Torah writes, Lo tir debo b'farach, don't work with the slave too intensely, with too much bondage, too much hard work, difficult labor. V'yareisa me'elokecha, you should have Yirat Shamayim. So what does Rashi say this is referring to? Lo tir debo b'farach doesn't mean that you're working the slave too exhaustively, but you're actually asking him to perform activities that have no meaning, that are trivial, that are pointless. Psychological abuse. Take my glass and move it from the left part of the table to the right part of the table. Look at me this way. Brush your hair this way. Stand on your head and sing the national anthem. Things that are silly. Things that have no purpose. So why does the Torah say, V'yareisa me'elokecha? Because you'll say to yourself, what do you mean? For me, it has a purpose. It's arbitrary. It's idiosyncratic. But for me, I get my kicks listening to someone sing the national anthem on their head. For me, I get my kicks having the cup turn right rotation as opposed to left rotation. It's not pointless to me. I'm only forbidden from asking my slave and servant for pointless activities. But this is point. Psychologically, it gives me satisfaction for him to comb his hair left with this part or that part. Why not? So Rashi says, no. You can't tell him that. Why? Because v'yareisa me'elokecha. Now listen to the two levels here. Number one, you have to Yirat Shamayim. You have to think through moral situations with rigor and not acquit yourself easily. These are more delicate situations than you think they are. And think very carefully about whether you have a need or you're just employing this to have psychological control over him and mind games over him. And second of all, and there are always going to be two layers to this conversation today, not only should you be rigorous in your moral accounting because you fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but who says that your will is so central? There's a hierarchy, and just because you want a glass placed this way, or you want him to sit under that tree as opposed to this tree, your will is not the final decisor. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will should be imposed upon yours, and that should create a degree of humility and a degree of self-accounting and honesty and intellectual honesty. Okay, how important really is this idiosyncratic little need of yours to have him walk with his left foot first rather than his right foot first? So it's not just that Yirat Shamayim should cause moral accounting, you should also remind yourself that these types of arbitrary impositions of will aren't acceptable for someone as Yirat Shamayim. a certain point, you're the Yerushalayim, you decentralize yourself. It doesn't mean you decentralize yourself and you don't eat, and you decentralize yourself, you don't drink, you don't sleep. But all of a sudden, the whole world's going to revolve around your needs and the way you view this world and your perspective, even when, in areas that other people would find picayune and pointless. That's not Yerushalayim. You hear what's happening in Rashi? Yerushalayim is filtering down to moral rigor, not to make moral shortcuts, shortcuts of reason. And not only that, but establishes an absolute north, and your will isn't at the center of the universe, especially when it comes to areas that are arbitrary. Okay? Now, let's go back to Ribbis. The Torah writes about Ribbis as well. Al tikach meito neshech v'tarvis, and going backwards, v'ereisa me'alokecha an b'cheyech l'cheyimach. So how does Yerushalayim affect morally nuanced situations in Ribbis, in usury, in interest? So Rashi provides two examples. One example is a person will say, look, I should be charging ribbis left and right. Money has value. If a bank loans you money, you get to use money for that period of time. That's value. If I give you a cup to use, right, using that cup has value. If I give it to you for a month, I can charge you 10 shekels. If I give it to you for 5 months, you have to. Everything in life has value. So by giving you money, I'm giving you investment potential. I'm depriving myself of investment potential. And I should be able to charge you legitimately for that, like any service. Usury and interest aren't immoral. Usury and interest aren't theft, at least based on human capitalistic systems where money has a value to it. X amount of money per Y amount of time equals Z amount of value. It's simple. You go to a bank, you want X amount of money. They'll ask you, how long would you want it for? Your mortgage, your loan. You say, this is what it costs. Same way you'd rent a car. Same way you'd rent any item. So Ribbis is not really acting immorally based on human systems and human conventions. But Hashem says, you're right. But that's now not how I want you to view money. I want you to view money as something which you freely loan to another Jew, even though it's taking a bite out of your portfolio. You're right, it's a part of tzedakah. You're losing money by giving up this money for a certain period. You're not gaining anything. You could have gained by potential investments. That's not how I want you to see another Jew. That's not how I want you to see money. I want you to see money, especially money where people think it's objective and fixed, but it rises and falls, and you can lose all your money tomorrow, and then the money can be devalued in an instant. You should have realized that money isn't as fixed, as permanent as you are. And again, I want you to prioritize the divine view of money over the human market-driven view of money. You may live in a market economy. In a market economy, or any economy, money has a certain value to it, and that value should be compensated when it's delivered to someone as a loan. But if you erase me, lokecha, I want you to step outside your own human conventions and perspectives, and I want you to see it from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's perspective and humble yourself and be morally sound in your judgments. The second case of interest is even more subtle. Halacha is that I'm not allowed to loan money to you and collect interest. But a guy is allowed to loan money to you and collect interest, which means that in theory, I could deliver my money to a guy, form a partnership with him, and then the loan is coming from the guy, not really from me. And there are halachas about this. That's the way Jews can collect interest, even from other Jews, is by basically the chametz guy. You're selling your chametz to a guy, you're selling your money to a guy for this purpose. And halacha allows it in certain cases. But in certain cases, halacha disallows it. And the boundaries between the cases that are allowable and cases that are prohibited are very, very razor thin. Depending whether you make this kinyan or that kinyan or what type of arrangement you meet with the guy, it's called hatola ma'osa benach. If you just, what's what I'm looking for? Not really, but fictitiously give your money to a guy, but you don't really transfer it, then it's really your money. And you're really violating the isser. So here as well, you say, what difference does it make if I make more of a kinyan to the guy, less of a kinyan to the guy? It's still the same thing. I have to be so makbid in halacha. What difference does it make if I eat a kazayis matzah, less than a kazayis matzah? What difference does it make if I say kriyash ma at 852 or 853? Same spirit. It's the same concept. I'm still performing a mitzvah. It makes such a big difference, these little quantifiable nuances, whether I eat more or less or to more than. So I look at Hassan with Yerushalayim. Realizes this is a Kaddish Baruch Hu system, and there are rules and guidelines to it. And from a human perspective, sometimes these differences seem arbitrary or seemingly irrelevant. from the Ribono Shel Olam's perspective. That's how halacha and his will was articulated to cascade down to human experience, and fulfilling his will sometimes depends upon little details. And disobeying his will is one of those details that are ignored or neglected. So it's a fascinating series of Rashis that helps us take Yirat Shamayim and ground it not just in our attitude towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not just even in our attitude towards tefillin and tzitzis, sometimes it's easier to feel Yirat Shamayim, but in the world of morality. These are three moral conundrums, moral quandaries. You want your Eved to move the glass from the top of the table to the bottom of the table. And that's just silly. That's just psychological warfare. She's just going to do silly, ridiculous, mindless activities. But for a minute, it's important. After all, my position, subjective world. For me, it's really important to cut you this way or that way. Yeah, I know for you it's important, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, your will is not the sole determinant. My money has value. Why shouldn't I recover that value when I loan it to you as rivers? Yeah, your money has value, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu determined you should view money as a way that doesn't have value in not just a pure capitalistic scheme, but in a world of capitalism that's moderated by morality and sensitivity. You should see your money as an opportunity to help others with it. And finally, well, I want to receive interest, so I'll be mocking my money to my, instead of being mocking my money, I'll just make believe. We'll make a fictitious virtual partnership without full kinyanim. What difference does it make? Spirit is still there. I'm keeping halacha. No, you have to keep halacha in a very, very decisive, detail-oriented fashion, not just in a general sense. So these are two Rashis. I've read them in reverse order. Second Rashi talks about the Eved. The first Rashi talks about the two scenarios of Ribbis. And all of them, Torah writes, Vira Sivir. Okay? Have a great Shabbat, everyone. Where are you going?
So, for Shabbat, Shabbat, so you